You have your Bibles, turn with me and open them to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. I hope I gave you the right scriptures. I've revised this about three times, and I hope hope we're on the same page. We're going to start at verse 43. Is that right? Okay, good. And before I read the scriptures this morning, thank you, Josh. Before we read the scriptures this morning, I want to remind you, just give you a little background before we start the scripture, that this is the chapter where Elijah was challenging the prophets of Baal to find out whose God is really God. And I know every one of you know the story, so I'm not going to remind you of the story. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. But just real briefly, there was this contest between the prophets of the Baal and the God of Elijah. What did I say wrong? Oh, okay. Anytime these three clowns on the front start laughing, I think I must have said something wrong. Okay. All right. So, God help me not to pay any attention to him. And so the prophets of Baal begin to call upon their God to destroy the sacrifice. And you know the story how they cut themselves. They cried out to God, and the God of Baal never did answer. But then Elijah called out on the God of heaven, and we know that the fire from heaven came down, and it not only consumed the sacrifice, but it also consumed the water that was in the trench around the sacrifice. It also consumed the rocks and the altar and everything involved there. The fire of God consumed it all. And then the verse just before this, I believe, says that they were that Elijah chased them all the way down to the valley of, maybe it was Jezreel, I don't remember for sure, and smote all of those worshipers of Baal, and it was proven that God is God. I'm going to tell you something today. God is still God. Hundreds of years, and maybe even a couple thousand of years, God is still God. And God does not change, and he's always the same as Jesus is yesterday, today, and forever. So as we read this scripture today, this is where Elijah begins to tell Ahab that it's going to rain again. He had prophesied that it wouldn't rain, and you all know that for 3.5 years it didn't rain. And then he said it'll not rain. And was it 3.5 years or 7 years? Does anybody remember? 3.5 years, okay. And then the rain wasn't going to start until Elijah spoke again. And so here's how it starts in verse 41. Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm is coming. I wonder where he heard that at. How many knows it wasn't in the thunder? It wasn't in the lightning. It wasn't in the black clouds. Can I hear an amen? But he had heard a word from God earlier, 3 years later, earlier, that said, when you say there shall be rain, it's going to rain. And he said, I heard it. It may have been a 3.5-year-old word, but it still came to pass. How many times do we hear a word from God, and if it doesn't come to pass in 30, 60, 90 days, we think, well, God, I missed it. Or God missed it, right? But he says here, I've got a word. Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear. He didn't see it, but he heard that there's a rainstorm coming. So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed back to the top of Mount Carmel. He bowed low to the ground, and he prayed with his face between his knees, which is a type or a sign of intercessory prayer. He was interceding. And then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went, and what did he do? He looked and returned to Elijah. And what did he say? Say it out loud. I didn't see anything. 7 times Elijah told him to go again. Go and look. Finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. How many knows, to a believer like Elijah, it didn't take a whole lot to get his attention. It was just a little cloud rising in the sea, out of the sea, over the sea, about the size of a man's hand. And then Elijah shouted. I like that. He shouted. Some of y'all need to learn how to shout. He shouted, and he said, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and get home. If you don't hurry, the rain's going to stop you. I mean, he was expecting a deluge, wasn't he? He was expecting a mighty outpouring. And from what he heard, he hadn't even seen the cloud. He just heard there was a cloud. The servant saw the little cloud, and Elijah interprets that to be, there's a mighty outpouring coming. I want to tell you something, Solid Rock. There's an outpouring plan for Solid Rock. I believe with all my heart. If I didn't believe that, I would change something. But I believe with all my heart that there's an outpouring coming to Solid Rock. And right now, we might not see anything, but we might go out someday and there'll be a cloud about the size of a man's head. I'm telling you, God is about to do something in this ministry. The rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Let me just stop for just a minute and let me draw you a little picture here of what happened. Here's Ahab with the finest horses, pulling the most beautiful, powerful chariots. It was probably a 454 horsepower chariot, and it was pulling it down the mountain. He was going down the mountain to Jezreel, right? And Elijah said, hurry, get through, because the rain's going to stop you. And the Bible says that even though Ahab had the finest horses and the most greased wheels in the chariots that were around there, the Bible says that Ahab passed him up like he was sitting still. Man, that's what happens when God gets a hold of somebody, right? He ran ahead of the chariots all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. He beat Ahab. Okay, so here's what the text is telling us today. I want you to get this today. Victory is for those that will take no for an answer. Hello? Victory is for those that will take no, that will not take no for an answer. He said, there is nothing. The servant said, there is nothing. Elijah said, go again. There is nothing. Go again. There is nothing. Go again. How many is that? Three. There is nothing. Go again. It could get pretty monotonous, couldn't it? There is nothing but go again. I'm not giving up and I'm not taking no, because I know what God said 3.5 years ago. When I say it's going to rain, it's going to rain. I think it's a lesson for us in faith. Even when there's a lack of evidence, we still believe. Because what's the Bible say? Faith is the evidence. Our believing is the evidence. And so this man said, no, there's nothing there. There's no nothing there. But I'm telling you what, for the victor, for the man of God that's believing and trusting God, there is no such thing as walking by sight. Or walking by what we hear. We walk by the promises and the word of God. Can I hear a good amen this morning? There's something that's beyond the computer. There's something that's beyond Wall Street. There's something that's beyond CNN News. There's something beyond the calculator and something beyond the charts. There's something beyond the laboratory. There's even something beyond the facts. And it's called the living word of God that dwells in us and comes out of our mouth. It's good to say, go again. I said it's good. It's good to say, go again. Because I believe too many Christians today are accepting as final authority, there is nothing. It's not working. I guess you missed it. I guess I didn't hear from God. I guess God isn't hearing our prayers. And we miss it by saying there is nothing. But I want to tell all the doubters and all the skeptics and all those that aren't believing today, there is something. That's why we're preaching, go again. Go again. We're not giving up at the first negative sign. Go again. What if it takes 3 months? Go again. What if it takes 6 months? We go again. Somebody shout amen. So what I'm doing here this morning is I want to make sure that our faith is unafraid of the facts. Did you hear me? Our faith is unafraid of the facts. We don't fall short. When we're seeking the truth, we don't fall short and say there is nothing. When we know what the word of God says and we keep the word coming out of our mouth, believing with all of our heart, I'm telling you what, there is a sign. There may be a small cloud. It may be just a small thing, but it's enough to give me the evidence that I need that God is about to give us a cloud burst. Remember Thomas? Mr. Stubborn Thomas, Inquisitive Thomas. You know, there's a scripture in John chapter 20 that where Thomas said, except I see with my eyes, and except I think I have that verse, Sister Kendra, and unless I see it with my eyes, John chapter 20, verse 25, except I see his hands in the prints of the nails, unless I put my fingers into the print of his nails and thrust my hand into the side, I will not believe. There's a lot of doubting Thomases in the church world today. I believe we're not doubting Thomases. I believe we're not doubting Thomases. I believe we got some believers in the house today. I said, there's some believers here today. There are those that will say, like Jesus said, blessed are those who have seen, who have not seen, and yet believe. Blessed are you. Maybe we've not seen the cloud. Maybe we've not seen the answer. Maybe the promise hasn't come to fruition. But I'm telling you what, blessed are those that still believe even when they don't see. Woo! So Elijah's chief of staff would go out and come back with the monotonous, there is nothing. You know, we've got them in solid rock. We've got some there is nothings in solid rock, and I'm not pointing to anybody, so, you know, just realize that there's always some doubters around. But he wasn't a man given to a lot of words. He wasn't a man that knew how to say it real flowery. It was just three words, there is nothing. And no matter what, nothing was going to change his mind, even though his boss had a word from the Lord. There's no enthusiasm. Have you ever met anybody like that? The Bible says, this, and they say, well, that's for the old days. That was for the Old Testament, or that was for just the apostles, or that was just for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Basically, there is nothing, there never has been, there never will be. Nothing's going to change. I've always been like this. My life's always been a mess. I've always been addicted. I'm never going to get help. I heard somebody say this last week. They said that somebody that's on drugs never, ever, ever, ever gets delivered or get helped. They just learn to manage it. And there may be some truth to that, but I want to tell you something else. There is a God that knows how to deliver people from alcohol. There is a God that can deliver people from drugs. There is a God that can deliver you from the sins of the flesh. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so the question is this morning, can you hold on to your faith when there is nothing? Can you go again to the word of the Lord and see what God says? You may have to go to the word of the Lord 70 times 70, but as you go to the word of the Lord, just go again, go again, go again. And it's not always easy. How many knows faith really stands challenged sometimes when we're facing some situations in our life? Amen? Faith is always challenged. It's never easy to walk by faith, right? It's never easy, but I want to tell you something. It's okay to inquire. It's okay to send the messenger to go and see. It didn't move Elijah. How many knows Elijah wasn't moved by the there is nothing the first time? He wasn't moved by there is nothing the second time, third time, fourth time. He wasn't moved by that. Why? How do you know, brother? Because he kept sending him back again. There's got to be something coming up off that shoreline. There's got to be something coming up out of there. Amen. And so they've gone through 3 years of drought. There's apparently less faith in Israel than there is water because nobody's believing. Ahab even sent his right-hand man, Obadiah, out to the different places throughout the land to find pools of water where his horses and mules and things could be watered and fed, and still there was nothing. There was no water. There was nothing in the land. They had reached the disaster stage. They had reached the kind of like the place of no return. There was anger. There was people mad at the preacher because the preacher said rain's going to come someday. And they got mad at the preacher. How many times do you think people get mad at the preacher because the preacher says, if you'll just remain faithful, steadfast, God will come through. Amen. You remember my message last week? But if not, I'm still going to trust God. If not, I still believe my God is able. If not, I'm going to stand on the promises of God anyhow. And so there was, preacher Elijah was not a popular guy. They would have been happy to execute him, but he kept preaching, rains are coming, the rains are coming, the rains are coming. I want to tell you, Solid Rock, the blessings of God, the power of God, the manifestation of the Spirit of God is coming to Solid Rock. We're going to see a revival. It may just pop out in a couple of weeks when Josh gets here. That might be the beginning of the revival that God is wanting to send to Solid Rock. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Help me preach. All right. So Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat, go get something to drink. I hear a mighty rainstorm is coming. And that day was no different than any other of the 3.5 years. It was still hot. It was dusty. Throats were dry. Noses were parched. It was a day of dryness, and nothing had changed. But how many knows that Brother Elijah had a sensitive ear to the voice of God? He knew he could hear long distance. He had heard God say, at your word, the rain will come. At your word, the rain will return. And so the prophet, he could see in the next world that the rain was coming his way. Amen. And so again and again, he hears this report. There is nothing. There is nothing. But he doesn't get discouraged. You can work it out. Don't get discouraged. God's going to come through. Don't get discouraged. What if I die? You win. I mean, this place is so temporary, it's just like a vapor, right? Here and gone. Well, what if I don't get healed and die? Well, glory to God, you got a better home, got a better place, you got a better body. We are so earth conscious, aren't we? Amen. Can't you just hear Elijah's servant saying, Master, come on. Elijah, come on, you're kind of stretching it just a little bit. What do you mean the abundance of rain out of that little cloud? Don't you realize, you're kind of out of your comfort zone right now. You're out of your area. You're not in your lane right now. It's not the rainy season. Don't predict a storm. Maybe a little shower out of that little hand. It could be a little rain shower or a little sprinkle or something like that. But don't be a fanatic about it. Elijah didn't say a little shower. He didn't say a little storm. He said there's a big storm coming from that little bitty cloud the size of a man's hand. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen some pretty big clouds and still no rain in those clouds. I've seen some pretty big thunderstorm clouds and no rain dropping out. But all he needed was that. I mean, he didn't need a sign, did he? He already knew the rain was coming. Amen. In Joshua chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, the scripture says, you and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you will march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. I wonder how that went. Have all the people shout as loud as they can. I've tried that here at Solid Rock before. On 3, everybody shout as loud as you can. Okay. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. So I'm telling you what, people like this write history. It's people like Joshua. It's people like Elijah. It's people like Elijah that will take God at his word, believe his word, do what he says to do, that will make history. There's that 7 times again. Amen. Somebody said, well, as soon as I see it, I'll believe it. But that's not the way faith works. You've got to believe it before you see it. You've got to believe it before you hear it. You've got to believe it before you see it or say it, or before you see it or hear it. Amen? All right. So back in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 44, it says, the seventh time, the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand arising from the sea. I don't know how you interpret that, but I've seen other people interpret it, Luke, like it was a thumb and 5 fingers, you know, because they said like a man's hand. But I just think it was a cloud that was just about the size of a man's hand. And but you know what? It doesn't really matter what it was. It was a small cloud, but it was enough evidence that Elijah saw and needed to get out of Dodge and to run down the hill. Amen. Listen to this. The size didn't matter to Elijah. The size didn't matter. He knew that God is always grows great things out of small specks. God knows how to increase the small things, doesn't he? I believe Elijah felt victory the moment that guy came back and said, there it is, because immediately he said, arise, let's go. There's a storm brewing. Let's get out of Dodge. Maybe some of you have promises, but you don't have signs. I want to encourage you to hold on to the promise. Don't give up when you don't see it. Don't give up when nothing changes. Hold on through the skepticism. Hold on through the doubt. Take an attitude that there's not enough negatives that's going to stop me from believing what the Lord told me. Amen? Amen. So how many knows there's sky watchers and then there are believers? I said there's sky watchers and there's believers. You've got discerners, you've got experts, and then you have believers. And Elijah said, I can hear the sound. Now listen, all he got was a report from the servant that I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah translated that, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. That's all he needed. Are y'all getting this morning? Stop waiting for some big thing to take place and learn that the little things mean that something bigger is coming. I'll take the cloud the size of a man's hand because I know that when it gets here and when it's fully matured, it's going to be a storm that's going to soak the land. Amen. How many of you stay with me just a couple more minutes? Boomer, I said a couple more minutes this time. I didn't say five. I said a couple. Okay. I learned a long time ago that delay is not denial. Say that with me. Delay is not denial. Say it on your own this time. Elijah didn't pray by the barometer. He prayed according to the promises of God. He prayed according to what he had been told. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Remember when Jesus spat on the ground and he took some mud and he rubbed it in the sockets of a man that had no eyeballs? He just rubbed that mud in there, that spittle, and he said, I want you to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Don't you know that that guy on his way to the pool met a lot of skepticism, a lot of doubters and unbelievers and say, why don't you wash that junk off your face? What do you mean walking around with mud all over your face? The skeptics tried to talk, it would no doubt tried to talk him out of completing the assignment that the Lord had given him. And a lot of people would have stopped. They'd have stopped at the first river, at the first stream, and washed that out of their eyes, you know, because I don't want to look filthy. I don't want to look like a fool. I don't want to look like a crazy man believing what the Lord said. But I want to tell you something. Anytime you attempt and step out to believe what God says, people are going to say you're crazy. Can you handle that? Can you take that? They're going to say you're crazy. And I want to tell you something. The Bible says he didn't see immediately. He didn't see as he was walking. He didn't see until he did what? Fulfilled the command of Jesus. How many knows the promises of Jesus always have a... I've got it here somewhere, the word I'm looking for. God always sets the point of deliverance. God always sets the point of deliverance. And when you stop short of that point, you're going to miss what God has for you. If he would have stopped at the first little stream and washed his eyes out, he'd have not come away believe or seen. But because he went to the place that God told him to go, did what God told him to do, he washed his eyes and he walked away seeing with his eyeballs. Amen. I want to tell you something. I don't always see immediately. There's times that God's given us words and we didn't see it. Sometimes, Dwayne, he's given us words and we tried to figure out how he's going to do it. But that's none of my business how he's going to do it. When God speaks a word to you, and I trust every one of you, you've heard from the Lord. You've heard from God. Every one of you, no doubt, have heard the word of the Lord speak to you. Or maybe you were reading the Bible and that scripture jumped out and you said, wow, that's for me. That's just what I was looking for. But you know, we don't always understand. We don't always see. I like the attitude of the Apostle Paul when they were out on that roaring sea and the waves were roaring and the ship was being tossed to and fro. He got up and stood in the middle of that storm. And what did he say? He said, guys, don't worry about anything. Don't fear. Every one of you going to be saved. In the middle of a storm. He wasn't moved by what he saw. He knew what the Word of God told him, that you will go and preach. Amen. Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You know, there's a story that Tiffany referred to a while ago about the breaking of the bread and the fish, the five loaves and two fish. And that T-shirt back there has five little loaves in a basket, and it's got two fish by it, and it's really a cute little T-shirt. But you know, these disciples said the same thing that everybody else has been saying here. You know, there's 5,000 people there, plus women and children. There's 5,000 hungry people there, maybe 15,000, 20,000 hungry people. And here's what the disciple says. Well, there's a boy here. But he's only got five loaves and two fishes. It's only about the size of a man's hand. Can you all see this today? We compare the need with what we see. We compare the need with what we have. We need to compare the need with what God said. What is that among so many people? We need to stop looking at the signs. Stop looking at the signs and start believing God. It's going to be exactly as He said it was going to be. Keep looking at the promises, not the signs. Amen? Is this boring anybody? If it is, I got good news for you. I've only got two more pages. During one of the most desperate days in the early period of American history, somebody wrote Benjamin Franklin a letter. And he was a very pessimistic person. And he said, "The sun of liberty has set on America." Benjamin Franklin wrote back and said, "Then light up the candles." Light up the candles. We're not going to let the darkness overtake us. Hallelujah. Amen. The clouds were the result of faith. Amen. Not the faith, the result of the clouds. Amen. Every one of us need that tenacity that says, go again. Get back in the Word again. Get back on your face again. Begin to seek God again. Trouble in your marriage, get on your face and seek God. Trouble in your finances, get on your face and seek God. Trouble on the job, get on your face and seek God. Trouble in this relationship with your children, get on your face and seek God. Go again. Go again. Go again. It may be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 700. Go again. Shout out with me. Go again. That's the kind of tenacity that we need to have. Go again. Hebrews 10:35. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Cast not away your confidence. It has great recompense of reward. My confidence is in the Lord. My confidence is God's going to do what He said He was going to do. The NLT says, don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward that it brings. Okay, as I begin to wind this down this morning, for the sake of those that are in a hurry to go home, here's an important point I'd like to make to you. The Lord told Elijah that the rain would come. He just didn't tell him exactly when it was coming. He had the promise that it was coming, but he didn't have the exact date that it was coming. If he did, he wouldn't have been sending out his servant time after time after time after time. Could you imagine how weary that servant got of running up the mountain, down the mountain, across the hills and through the valleys and over to the sea to look to see if there was a cloud? But he stayed faithful to Elijah. Amen. And so when Elijah went up to pray for rain, he started to pray. And as he prayed, he said, okay, you need to go see if we have anything. We're praying. Go see if you got anything. Go praying. Go see if you got anything. He didn't just pray, but he was looking for results. Did you hear me? He wasn't just praying. He was looking for results. So Elijah made sure that his servant was looking for something to change, something in the sky that was going to change. And I believe when we feel like we have a word from the Lord, or God's made a promise to us, or there's been times that people's come up front and the Lord would use Darlene and I or somebody else in the church to speak a word over them. Make sure that you receive that word. Don't look at the vessel. Don't judge the vessel. But listen for the word and look for things immediately to begin to change in your life. And it may not change on the way home. It may not change next week, but it will change. Because you've got the word of the Lord. Somebody say yes. Yes, Lord. All right. So Elijah just said, I'll keep on praying. You keep on looking. Something's going to happen. Seven times he said, go back. Seven times, go back. Look again. Look again. Look again. Can I tell you, sometimes we... Now, you faith people, bear with me while I say this. Sometimes we have to pray more than once. Because Elijah stayed in that intercessory position with his head bowed between his knees, and he kept praying for the rain to come, and he'd send his servant out. He'd come back and say, there is nothing. Elijah kept praying. There's rain coming. Go out and see again. Elijah didn't waver just because he prayed again and again and again. He wasn't in unbelief because he prayed again and again. He knew the word was coming. He knew it was coming to pass. Amen. So I just want to just encourage you, what you're praying about. Make sure that what you're praying about is in line with God's word. Somebody came into a prayer line one time. John Osteen was praying for people in the prayer line, and he asked this guy, he said, this is a true story. He asked John Osteen, he said, what can I pray with you about? He said, well, I'm wanting to divorce my wife and marry that woman right back there on the such and such seat. John said, go set your down. I'm not praying for you for something like that. That's not even in line with the scripture. Learn what the scripture says and pray what the scripture says so that it'll be in agreement with God's word. If you agree with that, shout amen. And eventually change will come. It may take weeks. It may take months. But change will come. I see a cloud. It's not a big one. It's not a dark thunderstorm cloud, but I see a cloud. And that's all the evidence that Elijah needed to say, let's get off this mountain. There's a storm coming. Amen? What else can I learn from this story? I think we need to look attentively for change. When we pray for something, begin to look and expect change. Because it didn't come all at once, did it? It didn't come all at once, so we began to look. And let me just say something here about this small thing, because sometimes it looks like a very insignificant answer to our prayer. It seems so small compared to what we're believing for. I'm believing for a thunderstorm that's gonna flood the land, and all I see is a cloud the size of a man's hand. I want to tell you something. Don't ever belittle the small things. Amen. You know, there's a scripture that says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. That cloud may have seemed small. It may have seemed insignificant. It may have seemed like it was empty, that there was nothing in it. But if you're praying for something, don't be surprised if your breakthrough comes through something small. You're praying for a miracle in your marriage, and you don't see things change overnight. But maybe there's just one little act of kindness that he or she does, and you see that. Begin to thank God for the small things. Amen? You might be praying for a great job. Now listen closely. You might be praying for a great job, and after a while, here comes an opportunity, and it comes, but it's not what you wanted. It's just a little thing, just a small thing. It's not what I wanted. It may be a voluntary position at somewhere, or it may just be a small job with a small salary. It may not be what you were wanting for, but don't despise it, because it could be the small cloud that God is sending your way to multiply so that the rainstorm will come. You understand what I'm saying? There's a guy that used to come to church here, had a good job. And he got laid off, making good money. Got laid off, and he didn't sit at home and feel sorry for himself. And this happened on more than one occasion. And he began to go out and look for a job. Some of you may remember this story. But he went out and looked for a job. He took the first job that came along. You know what it was? Making gravy at Hardee's. Now, here's a guy that was accustomed to making good money, but he said, God, just give me a job. I'll take something that you give me. And it was, you know what? It was a small cloud job. Can I say that? It was a small cloud job. But you know what God did? God blessed him in that little position. And then he got moved on to a greater position. And then they called him back to work. So he wasn't afraid to work during the small cloud days. And I want to tell you something. Some of us may be waiting for the big jackpot. Some of you waiting to win the lottery. I've heard people say, well, as soon as I win the lottery, I'll tithe. Listen, if you won't tithe on $100 a week, you won't tithe on $10,000 a week. Amen. I'll stop there. It may be a small cloud job, but it can turn into something much bigger than what it looks like in the beginning. Amen. Amen. So he kept sending the servant back again and again and again. So here's my final words. If we will seek to hear from the Lord, pray as Elijah did, we also can experience great answers to what God's promised us. And amen. So be it. Did y'all get anything out of that little short, brief word today? Amen. I used to fill up a 90-minute tape years ago, Josh. Remember those days? You do too, Dwayne. We used to fill up on Sunday morning, man. We'd start at about 10:30 and fill up a 90-minute tape and just fill it cram full of stuff. And then we move into this new culture now where it's a 30-minute service or a 1-hour service, but we're still breaking those rules, aren't we? And somebody says, "How long does service go at Solid Rock?" I used to say, "Well, at least 2 hours." Oh, I think I'll find another church. There's plenty of them around, believe me. There's plenty of them around. Let's stand up this morning. Could I have the praise and worship team come up here? I don't even know if there's a song that goes along with that message or not. If not, we can write one or make one up or something. But I want you just to pause a minute before you rush out today. I want you to just pause and think for a little bit about this. You know, God doesn't always answer in big responses. He doesn't always come back with exactly the thing that you're asking for. But remember, he does answer prayer. He does come through for us. And he will supply all of your need according to his riches, not according to yours or your parents or your children's, but according to his riches and glory. And God wants to answer your prayer. God wants to, you know, and we don't always have to go out looking for a sign, but I'll tell you what, once in a while it's really encouraging when you just get a little glimpse. You know, for so many years we struggled at Solid Rock, and God began to give us little glimpses, and those little glimpses became rain clouds. Years ago, it was hard to fill this place up on Sunday morning, and God began to cause little by little newer people to come in, new families to move into the area, and people begin to come in little by little, and God began to fill. If everybody that calls Solid Rock their home church were here today, we'd have to have the ushers take chairs all the way to the back. We don't ever get them all at the same time, do we? But that's all right. God has demonstrated that he is for us and not against us. And I want you to trust in the Lord this morning. Trust in with all your heart. Don't lean unto what you see or what you hear or what you feel or what you smell. I mean, those smells can be deceiving. I said smells can be deceiving. Don't always believe everything you smell. Father, thank you this morning for that great revelation. Thank you, Lord. I believe, God, that you've got some clouds, small cloud size blessings headed our way. I believe this congregation's about to experience the small cloud that will eventually turn into a downpour. So, God, we again seek your face. We trust you. We release our faith and say, thank you, Lord, for the small cloud. We're not discouraged because it's not exactly what we were asking for. But, God, I know you can turn those little things like 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough to feed a multitude. You can take that small thing. Even in the area of our giving, Lord, you can take our offering and multiply it back, good measure, pressed down and shaken together. You can take that small praise that we offer to you today, Lord, and cause miracles to come our way because we trust you, Lord. Father, I ask you to bless Solid Rock in a way like you've never blessed before. I pray that this word will be planted and that Satan will not steal the seed that was planted in the hearts of men and women today. Those that are watching online, in the name of Jesus, we pray a protection about that seed that was planted and declare that it will bring forth fruit. We honor you in this house today, Lord. We lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. If we go again, we'll go again, and we'll go again, and we'll go again. We will be determined not to give up, because if you said it, it'll surely happen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name,
These are the days of Elijah.
Oh, yeah.
Declaring the word of the Lord.